Hi, this is Mila Handley, and I'm the owner and winemaker at Handley Cellars in Anderson Valley. And Anderson Valley is 2.5 hours north of San Francisco. It's a very small valley that has focused over the years on the Alsace varietals as well as Pinot Noir and some Chardonnay. And it's just a beautiful, tiny little valley, and it's a wonderful place for me to be growing grapes and to live.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Even if you cannot participate in the 9th Annual International Alsace Varietals Festival, February 8th and 9th, you will still be able to participate at home or while you're dining out by purchasing some bottles of Handley Cellars wines. Mila Handley will be pouring her 2012 Pinot Gris, her 2012 Gewürztraminer, and the 2012 Riesling All Anderson Valley, and she's joining us today on Wine and Dine. Mila, thank you so very much. I always am such a huge fan of your wines. I love your wines, and I love Anderson Valley.
Well, thank you very much. I got to Anderson Valley just by luck, and I have fell in love with it, and I like the varietals, and we have been looking at these Alsace varietals for years, and I still remember when I first moved up here, Pinot Noir was $350 a ton, and Gewürztraminer was $500.
Wow!
And it was overhead sprawl, not well done, but for their Pinot Noir. But Pinot Noir is now the dominant variety here in the valley. But most of the vineyards still are growing Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer. Riesling is up on the ridges more because it's too cold in the valley floor for it. But those varietals excel here.
Oh, I want to ask you a personal question, kind of going back to your early days in winemaking, and you worked under Richard Arrowood at St. Jean. And
first three vintages, yeah.
And I remember when that winery came on the scene, and he was like a guru with his dessert wines in particular, Riesling and Gewürztraminer. And that was quite a mentor, a teacher to have right out of school.
He was definitely a great mentor, and I went from him, who was anal retentive. We got Riesling, mostly Riesling, more than any of the other aromatic whites, but a lot of Riesling, and we got him from places like Cole Ranch and Potter Valley and places all over the place. And we would actually have growers find out that we took wines with botrytis in them, or grapes with botrytis in them, and they would come, to the winery that they were supposed to be delivering to, and they would say it wasn't good enough, it wasn't clean enough, and it would come down to St. Jean, mm-hmm. and if the grapes looked like it was clean mold and botrytis,
right.
Dick would take them. And a couple times they weren't that good, and they sort of didn't go anywhere. But he loved the Alsace wines, he loved the German wines, and I had never had a lot of experience with those. You know, martini cabs, things like that.
Yeah.
But I hadn't really done a lot with the more fruit-forward wines. And we have Chardonnay here and Pinot Noir here, but we still have a Gewürztraminer block here in our estate vineyard. But it's one of the grapes varietals, those Alsace varietals, they just work wonderfully in cold climates. And we have nice warm summers, and it's been frosty on the valley floor for the last week or so. On the ridges, it's a little bit warmer, but it's a perfect place for these varietals to grow.
And you do it's a combination in fermentation and aging of stainless steel, and you use some big oak.
Yes, but we have a foudre that is just a big barrel. It has like 800 gallons in it. And then we have an oval. And both of them, when we first got them, they would be sort of seasoned by like a Chardonnay or something like that. Then the Alsace varietals can go in them. And then some of the Alsace varietals will go in them. Some of them will go into large puncheons and stuff like that. So we try to give them neutral oak.
And those make wines that are more similar to Alsace.
It is. Although Alsace is sort of, it's fairly controversial. At Ostertag, you know, he uses some new oak puncheons and stuff like that. And Zinhumbrick doesn't think that's the appropriate thing. And I still remember when I went to Zinhumbrick and I went to Ostertag, and I remember can't remember who said which. One was you had to grow it on the rockiest soils, and one had you had to grow it on the valley floor. And they were adamant that this was the most important thing, but I
can't remember which.
I don't remember which was which. I think that Ostertag is the outlier because I think he does a lot in neutral puncheons and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I think he sometimes gets declassified.
Okay.
Yeah. But he had, I mean, when we sat down at his little, you know, lab tasting area, he had a table with glass underneath it that had rocks.
They are very
into their rocks.
Yes. Yeah.
And those flavors are definitely related to the soils.
So what is the soil like in your vineyards, in your estate vineyards?
Oh, it's much more just dirt. I have a home vineyard. I have one flat section, we thought about growing Pinot Gris up there, and it just didn't work. But it's kind of not the most fertile soils.
Okay.
And down here, we have fairly fertile soils because we're close to an old marsh and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so there's reasonable soil, you know, here. And there's very little flat in Anderson Valley. So even on the valley floors, there's some vineyards that are pretty close to flat, but most of them have some slope and some drainage.
Well, I love this idea of having a glass of your 2012 Anderson Valley Gewürztraminer with chicken apple sausage or Indian yellow curry sounds heavenly. Do you actually eat like that at home?
What kind
of food do you? What do you cook at home?
What do I cook at home?
Yeah,
it depends on the day. When salmon's in season, we get salmon.
Okay.
If it's with the local market, so I like salmon. I don't do that much meat. I probably roast some chickens and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I probably don't cook as much as I probably should.
So here it is a Friday. What are you going to have for dinner tonight, or are you going to go out?
We went out to dinner last night.
Really? What did you have?
God, I think we had pork. It's a little restaurant very close to the winery, and they moved from France to here.
Wow.
And they have a very small restaurant that's... The food is good. I mean, she makes very good French onion soup.
Ooh.
There's pork. There was fish. It was all women.
Okay.
So it was an all-women dinner. And for us, they've come here. Her son works at the winery part-time, and they seem to be a very good part of the
community. Wow. And then, like, what kind of wines at home do you have? You know, do you open a bottle and it lasts for a day or two, or is a bottle gone with dinner?
Oh, I live by myself. If I went through a bottle in a day, I would not. I have to be really careful. I live by myself. I live 4 miles from a paved road.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm pretty careful at home, and I used to say I don't drink at home. I drink at work. but yeah, we do a lot of tastings. I actually have a really good cellar of older Bordeaux.
Oh, wow!
So this is something my father had, and when they died, I have a whole bunch of very interesting wines, and it's fun. So it's always good to do. We have, once a year, we have a Christmas party for our staff, and this year we brought a lot of some of the older wines, and some of the even, I mean, we're talking about 20 years old, something like that. Some of them, there's some ullage, but others, some corks are really good, and some corks aren't.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's fun because we have a couple of people who really like older wines, and it's just sort of a blast to do it because they're not going to get better a whole lot. But there's also, I mean, there's wines that you would never think would age, and you open them up and they age really well. So yeah.
How well? Last question here. We're almost out of time. Like your Riesling or your Gewürztraminer, your Pinot Gris. Have you ever had a 15, 20-year-old wine of yours? How do they age?
I don't think we've had them that long, and
okay.
The Riesling would age well.
Okay.
I'm more worried about a Pinot Blanc aging because it's just sort of a more subtle wine.
Okay.
But I wouldn't. Rieslings age really well, and so if it's a good vintage, they can go for a long period of time. And I swear, there's people who've said if you were stuck on a desert island, it would be Riesling.
No.
So yeah.
Okay. Pinot Blanc. Okay, so Pinot Blanc, Gewürztraminer, Riesling, and Pinot Gris will be at this festival here. Mila,
yes.
We'd like to thank you so very much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
Always a pleasure to talk to Millihamber.
Well, come out and visit sometime.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to.
Okay.
Anderson Valley is my favorite part of California.
Thank you very much.
We will have links up for you to learn more. And she makes sparkling wine. Of course, Pinot Noir, Zinfandel, Syrah. We'll have links up for you to learn more. You're listening to Wine and Dine. You're listening to iWine Radio.
Hello, my name is Olivier Umbrecht. I'm a master of wine and the owner winemaker at Domaine Zinfandel in Alsace. If you want, you can learn more about our wines on our website, zinfandel.com.